morning, the 18th of January, 72. Channel 2, right. And beginning the visit with Suzanne and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72.
We saw a hammer.
Start shedding layers.
Yeah, I'll start shedding layers too. I want to get a... I want to... Miss Mary, I want to... One of these chairs would be more...
Stand up a little while. Yeah, kind of limber up my...
All right. Limber up
a little. Claire couldn't hardly get up this morning.
I'll tell you. I'll go... I got to take off a few of my sweaters. So I'll be right back. Just throw them over there if you may. Do you have anything with a beauty parlor lady this week?
Did I have anything at the beauty parlor?
No, you remember she asked if you bring her anything? Those jokes and all?
Oh.
The lady, does she?
No, I have.
You look warm.
I left off one pair of my britches yesterday. I had on cooked pants.
You're like me. Just frighten the cows this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a little bit of my old cat, but I didn't.
Oh, a fishing cat?
Mm-hmm. No, I got an old cat that comes down and fastens under my chin when I go out in the wind.
Yeah.
And they scared at it. Says blackberry jelly.
It's like mint.
Sure. I'll have to get back and fix dinner for Marvin. He's being at 12:05.
Did you get off early today?
He's going to get off and send me down to Houston for a test.
Oh. Just kind of check him?
Just to get a pap test.
Oh, yeah. One of those, I remember. Well, I got a wild scope.
Oh, I hate that thing so bad.
I could drive you over. Marvin wouldn't have to get off.
I got too much oil getting my heater, so I've got to get some out. I'll be right back.
Okay. It can be bad. Have you ever had that happen?
What?
You know, you leave your heater on too long and you get a lot of oil in it?
Uh-uh.
You know, if you get too much oil in it, then you light it, it just kind of whoosh, it goes up real fast. You soak it out from that.
It's too hot in here.
What you been doing?
Not much. Fixed birthday cakes last week, or one birthday cake. Jim had his birthday, and I had mine the next day.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's born on the 12th, and I'm the 13th.
Well, I do have. Well, that's wonderful y'all have them supposed
It's fun. And my mother sent me one of those long bathrobes, you know, kind of flannel-like. Well, that's really nice, because now I can just sit down in a chair, wrap my feet up in the bottom of it, you know, and just be warm as... Sat down at Lum's all night, Sunday night, because Jim had to work for him. Some girl came in, and she works there, or she used to work there. And she came in with three friends, and they sat down, and they all wanted to set the checks. So after a while, two of the girls came up to pay their checks.
One girl paid and left. Another girl gave Jim a $10 bill. And Jim looked at the tickets, and when there's, say, a group, and they want separate checks, you mark the checks, you know, so you know how many people there are there. And he noticed that two of them were missing. And he looked over there, and the other two girls were gone. You know, the one who used to work there and a friend of hers. And so he asked the waitress, and said, well, go check in the bathroom and see if they're back there. Meanwhile, the girl that gave him the $10 bill was saying, can't you give me my change? Won't you give me my change? You know, she wanted to get her change and leave. And he wouldn't do it. And he said, well, as soon as your friends show up, then I'll give you your change. If they're gone, then I'll just have to take the tab out of your money. You know, and she got real upset about that. She said, well, I can call the police. And Jim said, well, it looks like I might be the one that's going to call the police. So in a few minutes, the other girls had gone out, and they were in the car parked in front of Lum's out by the street, and they saw that Jim wasn't going to let her go. So the girl who used to work there came rushing in, you know, and she said, well, I had to go get my money. She had about $50, and she had to go get some money from him. So she came back in, and they paid, and he let them go. But, you know, they do that.
Oh, yeah.
Just go right on out.
Mm-hmm. I know it.
I'm glad I don't work as a waitress. You've never done that, have you?
What's that?
Ever worked, you know, as a waitress or anything like that?
No, I never have worked that. I never had worked that.
You sure had enough to do as it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to kill you.
I told you I'd do it.
Where is she at? He hasn't got it. What's she going to do?
She's cleaning that bed here.
I said, what's he going to do? Does she know?
I don't know. They may have already seen me. I just left them.
I think I'll go.
No, you know, you gotta stay and face the music like me. I wish we could find something like that. That you could take to that meeting, you know, about changing Cross Creek names or something like that. Something to do with that, maybe.
Yeah.
You gonna get Marvin to take you to that meeting?
No, I'm not going.
You're not?
Mm-mm. I think Marvin and maybe Rob Snow will go.
Go and watch you set them on their ear.
Hmm?
Watch you just set them on their ear about changing the name. Because you've been there. You've been there longer than Miss Griffin, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there for a while longer than Miss Griffin. I still can't understand what that genre is. It's energy. It's all that soot.
Fat. Just fat.
Fat beef?
Mm-hmm. I guess. Maybe that's pork.
far as I know, Steve.
Ooh, isn't he bright?
Before, when I was here, there was the prettiest woodpecker sitting up there on one end and one of them little tiny wrens on the other end eating. You need something though? He'd bite your paper off if he had him. Mrs. Dodd had one in a cage.
One of those?
The last time I seen her, I said, you better not never put your hand in there if you don't want it to get off of you, and you naturally bite it off.
Well, how'd they get him?
I don't remember now how she said they did get him. But he got hurt somehow or another. And the kids is always picking something up like that.
Yeah.
They had a woodpecker. I think he come to my house. I think he stays over there. And they kept him, and then they turned him out, and he stayed around there a long time, then he decided to take off. I believe he's at our house. Because every once in a while I'll see one out on the tree, and he don't act like he's too scared.
Yeah.
You know, that's so pretty. They got seed out there for them.
Yeah. We had some pet quail one time, you know. My father had shot or something. Somehow the wing was broken, and we kept him for a long time. Had some blackbirds one time, too, crows.
I think that they eaten at the sea.
He scared the wrens off.
Mm-hmm. He does.
I never seen so many animals as over there at Shirley's.
Crazy about pets, but I had a wild one.
No pets.
My little old dog.
What'd you use to feed that owl you had?
Beef. Yeah. Scraps of beef. And Mr. Guffin was always butchering, you know, and I'd have plenty of beef scraps. And I'd give him that and bread.
Until he developed the taste of chickens, huh?
Cars out there.
You did.
I just hadn't seen them. I had to do a little piece of work in the other room, Faye's room. I wanted to get over to your house and listen to the roof rattle.
You did. It ain't rattled yet.
Didn't that wind get it going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Wasn't it cold?
Oh, I didn't get warm for 2 days.
I didn't get it. I'm still not warm. The only way I get warm is to get in the bed.
Well, that first night, I couldn't get warm in the bed. Did your roof rattle?
Mm-hmm. Not as bad, though. But that wind gets up under it and the boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Oh, it gets under it.
Uh-huh. It gets up under it.
I wished I'd gone over that and listened to that. I don't know what you all have put up with.
That's the reason why Marvin's so anxious to get it covered.
It gets up under the whole roof.
No, there's that tin there, you know, where I told you the tornado hit.
Yes.
And tore it back. He didn't get it nailed up good and tight. He's scared to get up on top of that house.
Bob and Ed?
Hmm? Yes, sir, he is.
Gee whiz. I thought he'd get up there and just walk around.
Because up on that tin, if your foot ever slips and you get sliding, you're going to hit the ground.
Yeah. Not even a gutter to hold it.
That's right.
I tell you, that roof can cause you trouble. See, she's up in town, and they got all them trees and other houses, knocks the wind off.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
You get out there where it's got a fair shot at you, and you can hear, you'll hear from it, don't you?
I mean you do.
You lucky you don't have any trees on you, over your roof. Do you?
No. Lucky don't have any trees over the roof.
Well, you talk about tin rattling. You wait till you have a branch, you know, it'll come down and hit the tin, you
mm-hmm.
know, scrape across it at night. Does it rattle right over your bedroom?
Uh-uh. It's over the kitchen.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'll turn your fire down. Are you all going to take a trip today?
Marvin's coming in at noon and take me to Williston.
Williston?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not going to see Dr. Gibney?
Well, I might. I might go on down there, too. I'm down in my back. I got your complaint.
Does it hurt?
It hurts. And in the mornings, I can't hardly get out of bed. I like not made it out of bed, but when I get to stirring around,
yeah.
Well, it gets better.
Yeah.
But it just seems like at night that everything just packs to the back in my back down there.
That's what happens to me.
And I just couldn't hardly get up this morning.
I'll take some of your medicine if you get ready.
Okay.
Suzanne, you all, didn't you see Miss Gusta the other day?
Yeah, well, I saw her Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen you since then.
Yeah, I know. we had a good time. What do we have for lunch this time? Hamburgers.
Yeah.
Did you know what Miss Gussie Miss Mary told us? She said that the city limits are being pushed out here.
Yeah, they're gonna put us in the city limits. They said that we had to pay city taxes. We had to pay taxes equal to the city folks, that it was unfair for us not to. And they're gonna take pasture land and farming land and put it up equal to the city taxes.
That'd be awful.
It'd be awful.
Did you
Ralph Turlington in Gainesville is the man that's pushing it.
Yeah.
He is the man that's pushing it. Him and another lawyer.
They want us all to live in the city limits.
That's right.
You know, in the city limits, they won't let them have a cow or a horse or anything like that. Mm-mm. Well, what did Don say?
She says it's coming. She said that they were sure going to pass it. They do everything they want to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The city, that's everything. Now the county don't amount to anything.
But they do just make it all out to the county line all around?
I don't know just how it will work out, but... They had a meeting some time ago and wanted to put us all across the creek in the city limits. And a bunch of them went down there and vetoed it so it didn't pass.
Yeah.
So I understand now that Gainesville, we don't need to be in the city. If I was you, I'd kill her.
Don't give him an idea.
You need to.
Is she up to something?
She's up to something.
Here.
Those are Miss Mary's.
Those all age groups for men? Does this have to do with the city?
No.
Covers all age groups for men, including traveling salesmen. What's that got to do with it, Miss? 1968 Christmas. Help fight respiratory diseases by Christmas seal.
She's so mean, though.
First class mail, don't burn debris on dry winter days. Do you do that?
What, that?
Burn debris on dry winter days? Is this a private letter?
I gotta go.
Yeah, all right, you stay here too. That's a letter to the finance.
I gotta go. Show got to go.
Well, let me see. Should I just read it off?
Just read it off. Out loud.
Bakersfield Congress, St. Louis, Missouri. Gentlemen, I have just received your superheated letter. In regards to the bill which I owe you. You said that you thought that it could have been paid a long time ago. And you couldn't understand why it wasn't. In 1908, I bought a sawmill from you on credit. In 1909, I bought an ox team and timber car, two ponies, a breech-loading shotgun, a wine tester, and a $25 Colt revolver. Also, two fine Razorback hogs. All on the installment plan. In 1910, the mill burned down. One of my ponies died. And I loaned the other. What's the word here? To to a thoroughbred. Who starved it to death. Then I turned over a new leaf and joined the church. In 1911, my father died and my brother was lynched for horse stealing. Railroad man knocked my daughter up. And I had to pay $88 to keep the to keep the little bastard from becoming a a relative of mine. In 1912, my boy got the mumps. They went down on him.
I think I will clap.
Doctor had to castrate it. Later, I went fishing and the boat turned over and I lost the biggest catfish I ever saw. Two of my boys drowned. Neither being the one that was castrated. In 1918, my wife. I think I better go in the other room. In 1918, my wife ran off with a big fat nigger. And left me with a pair of twins for a souvenir. And then I hired the neighbor's girl and married her to save expenses. But I had trouble getting her to go off.
Some of those things are about twice as bad when they're out loud.
I went to a doctor and he advised me to create some excitement about the time she was ready. That night I took the shotgun to bed with me. And when I thought she was ready to go off, I sucked. I stuck the shotgun out the window and fired. My wife I'm not sure the next morning. My wife.
You can skip it. We know what it is.
My wife's shit in the bed. I ruptured myself and shot the best sow I ever had.
Cow.
In 1931, fire burned me out. Then I took to drinking. I didn't stop until all I had left was an Elgin watch and kidney trouble. Then for a long time, all I did was wind my watch. Run out the back door. It's still getting worse.
I forgot to laugh.
The next year I decided to try again. So I bought a Nate manure spreader, deering binder, and thrashing machine all on credit. Then came a cyclone and blew it into the next county. My wife caught the collapse of a traveling salesman. My boy wiped the ass on a corner car. That is. Marvin read this. That had rat poison on it. And some bastard nutted my best bull. Now, at the time, if it cost a nickel, go to the John Hyde after vomit. Yet you say that you caused me trouble. That trying to get money out of me would be like trying to poke butter up a cat. There was a ball bat, and furthermore, if turkeys were selling 10 cents a piece, I couldn't buy a chance on kissing the Z-bird. But mister, you're welcome to try. I'll try to goodness. Oh Lord. Did you hear about the Polack who? Oh Lord.
I hurt.
Oh Lord, help us. And so
you see the kind of culture I get over.
Yeah. They are trying to make him pee. Is that it?
Run it.
He's causing trouble.
He's answering the letter to him.
He's answering the letter to the finance company.
If I ever did get in trouble, I'm going to send that letter off.
Hmm. You send that to the county commissioner on some.
Then it gained to Ralph Darlington, why you can't pay city taxes.
Yeah. You got your little typewriter, Suzanne, we'll knock it off.
Is that a change?
Oh, Lord, that's something. Well, now, some of that could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a well-educated guy that wrote the letter.
Well, you know it was. Yeah.
See, if I'm ever done for anything, I'm going to mail that.
Sure, mail it to him.
You can probably make up your own just about. Things that had happened.
He's in there trying to make a fire burn. There you are.
Guy. Oh, I had a mess.
Oh, you did?
Woo!
Did you ever?
You missed something.
Wait.
You think we all just let
her? She can look at her leisure.
Oh, Lord, I wish I was. Did you ever get too much oil in the stove?
No.
I had to clean out a little bit of it, and I missed some.
She don't turn her stove off like we do, Faye. She just lets her run, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Just turn it up and down?
That's right. I let it burn all night, and if I go away, I turn it down real low, and sometimes I cut it off. You know, it's going to have the weather.
Well, you know what I do? I turn the thing on and forget to light it, and then it gets up.
Oh.
Oil. That's what happens.
Well, you bet as I am about the water. If I don't stay right out there when I turn the water on for the case, my hit just goes all over the place.
Every time.
I forget it.
Every time it does to me.
I forget it.
If I didn't have a float, they just starve, or else I'd drown them.
You didn't tell them what happened last when you went out to those yearlings. You know when the last time it was cold.
About the yearlings,
yeah.
Leaving and going in the backside.
Yeah.
I told them.
No.
I had on my old cap, you know, and was all wrapped up and went out to water them, and they all left. They taken one look at me, and they went backside the field.
What did you have on?
Oh, I had on my old cap. It's an old fur cap, and it comes down, fastens under my chin.
Yeah.
Had on two or three old sweaters and an old coat, trying to keep out of the wind, you know.
Yeah.
But they didn't like that worth a cent. They left. Said if I had to look like that, they'd leave home.
I never heard of anything like that. Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure. They do. Sure do. Have we seen you since Marvin and I went down to the cabin and found the gates fixed?
No.
Looked like somebody was just fixing the load. But the old gates, you have to pick them up and carry them. They're so heavy and about to fall down. And the main cow pen, somebody had closed that gate and into the gate that goes into the chute, Marvin's got a hit chained and it was propped open. Looked like somebody was going to go and get them some cows that night. But we went down there and went found that and went back to the house and got us a hammer and some nails. And we nearly missed the gates up. Of course, that wouldn't be any good if anybody wanted to go in there, but then they'd have a little trouble.
Where was that?
Down on the lake.
Have you got a pen down there?
Mm-hmm.
Why, they could go down there anytime.
Well, sure they could. They sure could.
Wouldn't anybody see them or anything?
Oh, no. Wouldn't anybody see them? No. And if they ever got one out of the pasture, well, they'd a thing in the world anybody could do about it.
You know, every time I go back there, and I don't see the cows, I don't say anything about it. But I think, Wilson, somebody has turned them out into the next pasture and loaded them up.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be hard to do. You see it, there's nobody back there.
That's right.
Nobody back there for days and days. Yeah, maybe the hunters.
They go back there? I just want to prove.
You know, I know a fella down at, you know, I told you, I used to know a bunch of carpenters and people like that, I could get to help me on things. Now I don't know any who would do it. They all do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this fella down in Orange Lake. And every now and then I can get him to come up here and help me a little bit. Now, he's got pretty good judgment. He's done all sorts of... He used to be an old maintenance man. He's done all sorts of maintenance, you know. And that way, they get into... They do the plumbing and the carpenter and the electrical. They do all of it, you see. So they learn the right smart.
There's just too many buildings going up. Marvin says, oh, out there on the mill hopper. Have you been out there lately?
Mm-hmm. Not the mill hopper. Is it out there, too? I knew it was Brown Archer Road.
The devil's mill hopper. Yeah. He said that that was just nothing but houses, like after house. Then there, and there was an old field on the left before we got there.
Mm.
A room sage field and a colored fellow farmed it. Had a garden out there, and he said that that is plumb full of houses.
Yeah. Just overnight.
Just going up. He said that it would be, it's just people coming to Florida, you know, and building.
Well, now, you've tried more than Sears, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I've tried. I called everybody in the Yellow Pages, and one man come out there.
Well, tell me what you found.
They just wouldn't respond. They wouldn't come out and look at it. But one old fella, that he was so old, he couldn't get about. Even we tried a fella over there at Hawthorne. He come out and looked at the house. He said the best thing for us to do would be to buy us a house trailer. And he went back.
Just tear it out now?
I reckon so. Just tear the house down.
You don't mean he actually said that?
He did.
Oh, he had nerve.
He said the thing for us to do would be to buy us a house trailer. Well, if I've got money to buy a house trailer, I can fix my house.
Yeah.
Them things are not giving away.
Oh, they're not. Well, now that's... And one old fella come out?
Crutchfield. And he told me that I would have to keep him out there while he was working, And I'd have to give him $1,000 before he got started. And I said, heck no, I won't eat. And give you nothing to get started. Because I said, you take my $1,000 and you'd be gone. And I wouldn't have seen her here tell a universe. And there wouldn't have been a thing in the world I could have done about it.
Why do you say that?
He didn't say anything. He said that he just left. I fixed dinner for him and he left. And he said if I take that notion that I want him to start to call him. And I told him I would.
Would you fix dinner for him?
Yeah, I fixed dinner for him. It was about dinner time when he come up there.
Yeah.
You don't supposed to time it that way, do you?
I imagine he did.
Well, is them two at all that you got in touch with?
Oh, no. I've called I don't know how many places and couldn't get any answer. Never could. Mrs. Disson told me about a fellow William, but I couldn't get no answer.
You mean the phone wasn't answered?
That's right. I guess they were gone whenever I called or something. Anyway, I never could get in touch with him. I tell you, if carpenters is any good, they already got them a job.
Paying big money.
Paying it. And them that ain't got no job, they ain't worth having.
No. No. Mr. I wish Mr. Weaver was in shape to work a little bit. He's a pretty good carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
You couldn't get him just to help you out a little bit over there?
No, I tried to get him.
Did you talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
You're not able?
He says he's not able. He goes and does work for the Zetrivers.
Oh, is that where he goes to work?
He goes over to Rochelle and done some work for, not the Zetrivers, Tillman.
I don't know Tillman.
Holly Tillman at Rochelle. He done some work for them, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. Crutchfield was just too old?
He's just too old. And I said, Mr. Crutchfield, I said, you can't get on top of that house. He said, no, he didn't intend to. He was going to have a nigger to do his job. I said, that's just the reason why I'm in a mess like I am now. Nigger jobs.
Well, now, what makes you say it's a mess?
Well, the top is in such a mess.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
No, it ain't. It's the side. That outside boards has all got to come off.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like it's been patched over there.
It has. Mr. Guthrie said he built that house for $300.
Is that right?
He worked for 10 cents a day in board. Of course, there's more house there now than what he built. But I've heard him tell it a many a time.
Yeah.
He worked for Mr. Bill Jackson.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Mr. Bill Jackson's prop ever went up. Is that where he got it from, Mr. Jackson?
No. That was his mother's property. That was his dad. You know where them two big old cedar trees is in the field?
Yeah.
I mean the ones that's further back towards the water hole.
Yeah.
Well, that's where Mr. Guthrie was raised.
Back there.
His mom and he said his daddy died there.
Yeah. Didn't realize that.
And he said he set them two cedar trees out at the front gate.
And he was brought up right there.
Right there. And just some old lilies there. They come up and bloom in the summertime. You know, these are kind of lilies striking. There's lilies out there.
I want to see them. I sure do.
Well, right there's where Mr. Guthrie was raised.
And that's your home place, but nothing left of the building.
Nothing left but the building. About the building. No, that's been gone for years and years.
But he built this house where you are for...
Him and his sister. His sister stayed with him and kept house for a good many years.
Yeah.
And she got to courting. And when we was tearing the ceiling out of the house, I found the letter sticking behind the door, and it had a 2-cent stamp on it. And it was addressed to Mrs. Gussie Guthrie.
Oh.
And it was from a feller, Fig Pen, and he was a railroad man. And they were courting. Fig Pen.
Isn't that nice?
I had 2 cents, thanks.
It had 2 cents.
Well,
now
you... Yeah, he was working all right. I was glad. Well, that shows you how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Where'd you find it in the...
Well, see, it was sticking right behind the front door facing.
Right in here. Oh, and I don't suppose that it was sealed.
Yeah.
When the letter was put there, she just probably stuck it up in there. And they sealed the house and had the letter in there.
That was in their old house? I mean, the one that's not there anymore?
No, that's the one I'm in.
The one you're in.
See, we took the old paneling out and put new paneling in.
Mm.
Oh. Is that what you want to paint, Miss Mary?
A paint?
You want to paint that living room?
No.
Just the ceiling?
No, no.
Oh. You don't want to paint. You're not going to even paint the ceiling.
Well, I don't.
Right?
It won't take paint.
I was wondering about that.
That not them knot holes would show through it.
What would you have to do? You'd have to put something over it, wouldn't you?
Now, B.F. Kelly, a friend of ours over at Hawthorne, he puts, I don't know how he does it, but he fixes ceilings and sides of the house, and he's been wanting to come out there and fix it.
What would he do to it?
I don't know. Put some kind of stuff over at the top. And I said, what color would that be? He said, it would be just as white as white could be.
There in the front room.
Well, how'd that wind do on your roof?
It just got under them bumps and blows and roared and moaned and groaned and...
What's that about painting, Faye? I missed that.
She said you couldn't paint the ceiling in the living room. The knot holes would show. But somebody could do something to it.
He'd fix it up top for me. I don't know how they do that. They use a gun and they shoot something up there. And it's kind of like plaster.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got knot holes in the ceiling?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, you don't mind that, do you?
Not any holes, but the knots.
You don't like them?
Mm-mm. You remind me of Gert Dobberness.
Well, they do, don't they?
They do. They sure do. They remind me of Gert Dobberness.
And there you are, sitting in there with all them dirt covered in. Mm-hmm. Right in your own ceiling.
Yeah.
Living room.
You start counting them? I start counting them, I guess.
Who was it picked that out? That kind of family.
I don't know. Mr. Gus and Marvin went and got it. They didn't get what they wanted and what they ordered. They just, the company just sent it out there.
You know, that's a curious thing. A lot of times a fella don't get what he wants. He just takes what he can get, don't he?
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's the way I got this paneling in the front room here. It's just
right.
Some that they had overstocked.
If you take an ocean, you want to buy any paneling, go to Hawthorne.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the paneling. I need a pump.
Did your pump get burned up or something?
Wow.
Well, go over to Mr. Listens. Get that man to come put you in a pump.
You know him?
Yeah, I know him. But I can just cannot think of the man's name.
And he's a pretty good old fellow.
Yeah, he is. We bought two pumps from him.
Oh, did you?
Yes, sir. When they built that road by home, Joe Henry Anderson had the contract, and that rascal burnt my pump up. They hauled water from my place and put it on that highway. And I went out there one day and I asked him, I said, what are you all doing with the water? He says, we're putting it on the highway. I said, how come you don't go down there to the River Styx and get your water? And I told him, I said, don't you drive that truck back up here in my yard anymore. But they burned up my pump, and I had to buy a pump and put out there. And Joe Henry Anderson tore up everything, the yard and everything, and didn't even fix it.
Right up in the yard?
Huh?
Right up in the yard?
Yeah, he told me he was going to, the sand was so deep, you couldn't hardly, them big trucks going in there, so you couldn't hardly get to the house, and he told me that he was going to pave it. And he didn't do a thing. Went off and left me in a mess. And went down to the cellar somewhere and drug up some old stuff and left it there in my front yard.
Yeah.
And I got tired of it one day and I sat down and I wrote him a letter. And I told him that he just had so long to get that mess out of my yard. And I was charging him for every day that stuff stayed in my front yard. And he got his stuff out there and he moved it.
But your current pump was already burnt up by then.
Oh, yeah.
I don't quite see how they get away with that. Well, now, look at what happened over there at Ms. Dodd. When they dug that water hole over there at her place, they paved the whole Dadburn Road for her.
Yeah, you know that man come to me, but I've been beat so many times till I wouldn't leave. I have a water hole off of my place. And them people, what is that road contractor's name? He's from Gainesville. Oh, heck, I know his name just as well, but I can't think of it. But he come out there. And they wanted to, they said they'd fix us a nice water hole. And fix it so the cows could get in and out, you know. And Mr. Guthrie let him go in there. And the cows couldn't even get down to the water. Marvin had to take his tractor. And I think he borrowed Mr. Dodd's shovel that goes through it and fixed it so the cows, and they tore up that fence and they didn't even fix the fence and didn't do a thing that they said they did.
Oh, they just love to tear up the fence, walk off and leave it.
Yeah, and that man, he come up there and he offered me $105, $115, between Pat's house and our house out there in my fast house. And I said, you ain't even talking to me. And he wanted me to let him park his equipment down there at my mailbox, you know, move the fence. I said, no, sir, you ain't about to.
Because he'd go out and leave it.
That's right.
And you'd have to put the fence back.
And then he next thing I knowed, I got a letter that they was going to put a tar pit down there in the corner of my field, right at the corner of my field in Hogan. I said, if you do that, how are you going to get out? How are you going to get in and out? Said, and Illinois was going to give them a road. I said, and Illinois might give you a road, but I got to see that before I believe it. I said, you going to go out in and out through Mr. Hogan's place? And he said that he didn't know how he'd get in and out of Owen and Illinois.
I don't understand. You see, Ms. Dodd, I talked to her about that, and they didn't even mention that all that paving them people done. They just done it because it wanted to them.
So I called my lawyer, and they had a hearing over there, and Marvin went. The lawyer told Marvin to come in with him. See if they kill. Sometimes they say that that stuff will kill your grass.
The tar?
Or kill your cattle.
The tar will. Is that what you're talking about?
And he just stopped it.
They just wanted the tar pit out there.
In the corner of the field. Of course, they would have been on Hogan's land, but they might as well have been on my land if they'd had a... He thought he was going to outdo me, outsmart me.
To right, the end of channel 2 right, and a continuation of visit with Miss Mary this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72, with Suzanne. Channel 2 right, the end of channel 2 right, and a continuation. End of channel 2 right, and a continuation to visit with Miss Mary and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. Channel 2 right, the end of channel 2 right, and a continuation to visit with Miss Mary this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. Some little ways before the end of the reel.